Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I guess we were kind of right because maybe our predictions didn't go well, but guess what? In that soundbite, it sounded pretty good. Champions were crowned, and always here on Janae and Golic Jr., we stay winning. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. Notre Dame alum, Stanford and national champion alum. I'm just taking it by association. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, this hour, make sure you buckle up because we have a new mock draft out in which Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL GM, now working with us here at ESPN, chose violence. And I love it. Interrupting all of the celebrations we had for Stanford yesterday, celebrations for Baylor today, because obviously the Sam Darnold trade in which the New York Jets traded Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. And I think a lot of people have been saying a number of picks, specifically three picks, sixth rounder in 2021, second rounder and fourth rounder in 2022. It all brings forth the question, as that trade happened and interrupted our sports calendar, it brings into the question, all right, what do they do, the Carolina Panthers, with the eighth pick in that draft board? I told you, Junior, earlier, I was reading, I was like, hold up, things are getting spicy. So I love it. But before we get to that in about 10 minutes, we have to crown another champion. Now, Junior, watching that game, how long did it take you to realize, oh, Baylor's about to win this thing?
Probably all of a minute and a half of game time right there, because Baylor raced out and never looked back. And Shanae, I don't know if it was just because we had seen both of these teams throughout the tournament. We had watched Baylor and Gonzaga. We felt like this matchup was inevitable. I did not realize the size disparity was so severe until I saw these two teams next to each other and realized we had the Monstars playing a team in the like full-blown early cartoon Looney Tunes from Space Jam in there. Good Lord Almighty.
Great reference for the family. But you're right. It was a big blowout. Baylor took down undefeated Gonzaga to win their first national championship in program history. Now, Junior, putting that in perspective, we all over the course of the year were drinking the Gonzaga Kool-Aid in the sense that, all right, this offense is really special. They've got top-tier players. We had fun with Drew Timmy. We really celebrated the shot of the tournament with Jalen Suggs. But the reality is Baylor stole the show last night. Now, this begs the question on Baylor's side, Junior, is this, and we asked Jordan Cornette, who said his answer was actually really spectacular, but is this the biggest rebuild we've seen in sports? And Jordan sort of said potentially based on what this program was dealing with. Now, he referenced Jordan, but I guess to put it into context, what Baylor has dealt with the past 20 or so years. Baylor player had been charged with murdering his teammate. The former Baylor head coach, Dave Bliss, was caught on tape telling players to paint, you know, a certain person as a drug dealer. A lot of complications with that situation that led to their departures. New athletic director, so many new pieces around that athletic department. And then Scott Drew has the opportunity to step into rebuilding. And Junior, it was crazy watching him on First Take today. He was saying people don't realize in those first few seasons we had more walk-ons than scholarship players. It was wild. And I literally had to coach for my life because I knew coaching was the only way that we could win. And so they had a 4-13 season. And then soon thereafter, a couple years later, they reached the Elite Eight. They have Sweet 16s. And finally, this is culminating this full rebuild over 18 seasons that he's been leading at the helm with a national championship. So Junior, you know, looking at Baylor's story, something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand the gravity based on what we were watching in the tournament. We sort of forget about that history and that past. Is this probably the best rebuild? Because in my estimation, based on what happened at that university to where they are now, it's really impressive that they are able to win a title not knowing what their future was a couple years ago.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Ogwumike. I would say yes, if we're going to go with rebuild as the operative term. Anytime I get the chance, I'll remind people that if we're talking about building something from what apparently looks like nothing, Bill Snyder and the Kansas State Wildcats would like some of your time in Manhattan, Kansas, because that particular area, as difficult as it's got to be to get players out there and to build a program, what Bill Snyder turned them into for as long as he was there is remarkable and probably something that doesn't get enough credit overall in college athletics. But you mentioned this kind of impropriety at Baylor, unfortunately, a university that knows all too much about that, especially on the side of men's athletics. To come from that 18 years, this process, Janae, was just that, a long one, and one where I feel like a lot of people, and I've heard Bomani Jones talk about this a lot, made up their mind about Scott Drew a while ago and figured that he wasn't going to be the guy when you talk about coaching for that to be the difference in these spots. And Scott Drew, who is Baylor's now national championship head coach, talked in their press conference after about what kind of statement this makes now that they've won the title.
Gonzaga's got some obviously unbelievable talented guards. And one thing I tell you about our guys, though, when the best is needed, the best is usually provided. And as RG3 would always say, no pressure, no diamonds. Our guys, the better the opponent, the better they play. And they love being the first. First to win conference since 1950. First to win a national championship. I mean, that really motivates them. And when you got a competitor like that and a competitive group like that, really makes it easy to coach.
And Chiney, I think part of that is coaching. I think so often we think of coaching as just, all right, what are you drawing up coming out of timeouts here? How do you structure these certain things? Choosing between man and zone, especially in college, like all these things that you'd be able to speak to, especially on the basketball side, a lot better. But coaching, I think, is also understanding the plan that's needed in these spots. And when you talk about the full-scale strip-it-down-to-the-studs rebuild that had to happen and the changes along the way in style based on getting back to full scholarship numbers, being able to make those changes and consistently being in contention, then I think, yes, you have to count this as one of the best rebuilds in the history of sport.
I'd agree. And, Junior, you know what's crazy as you were outlining this? I always looked, and this is, I'm someone that thought I potentially would go to Baylor. On the women's side, they won the national title, I believe, in 2019, yep. Right? And so I was looking at this. I was like, Baylor is, and I'm speaking strictly to the men's basketball. I was like, Baylor, they have a really good program. They're always competitive. Coach Drew is a great coach, but I never saw that as a team that's like, all right, they're going to really go and get it done. But we put those expectations on Gonzaga. We're like, the time is right for Mark Few. The time is right for Gonzaga. They have the players. They have the offense. And it just seems in this season of chaos, it's more likely that they probably will win. They had the hype. They had the energy. And it's just really interesting because that is the definition of March Madness. It's all about matchups. And in this matchup, no matter the pedigree and all of the hype that we sort of talked to and put on, you know, the Bulldogs, the reality is they were some dogs on Baylor. They were some grown men that showed up and showed out, and that was their biggest strength. And I keep bringing back to your tweet, but like, it just is crazy because it shows you how difficult in two different ways. Baylor with their rebuild, Gonzaga being on the West Coast, trying to find a way outside of typically, you know, known conferences, to how hard it actually is to win a national championship. And last but not least, Junior, defense wins championships too. I know we're seeing in the world of basketball, especially, I think it's like Rachel Nichols on The Jump yesterday said like 8 of the best offenses in history are happening this year on teams this year. We're in this point explosion based on how the way the game's officiated and all that type of stuff. We saw two examples in the men's tournament and the women's tournament that defense is something that should be great and relied upon. You have to celebrate that part, even though it's not the most sexy.
Yeah, well, I think especially college lends itself well to that in those spots. But, Jay, you brought up something that also kind of reminded me in this, something Scott Drew said at the end of this game. It wasn't just Baylor. We won a championship. It was, hey, the state of Texas, we're national champions. And I think that's something else interesting to consider in all this is we talk about Chris Beard heading over to UT after what happened with Shaka Smart in that spot, is the sun and the moon resource-wise in that state is supposed to be the University of Texas. Baylor all the way out there in Waco, Chiney, especially in the wake of this, to be built into something now. Gonzaga deserves a ton of credit because being a mid-major and becoming what they have, it's like the Clemson Tigers on steroids from college football. Getting into the place where you're breathing the same air as some of the Blue Bloods, I think you can say the same for Baylor for some of those same reasons.
You know, it's funny. I'm just going inside. Y'all, we are going inside the locker room, okay? When you go on official visits and you go to Baylor and all that type of stuff, like my sister and I did, everyone's like, there's no distractions out here in Waco. Like, all you have to do is go out there, study, do your work on the court, on the field, wherever it is. And so the expectations for a title are super high. And that's why the women's program sort of turns them around. But it's great to see the men do it because compared to University of Texas in Austin, we all know what it's like to be out there in Austin, one of the most fun cities. Overall, the expectations are there too, but Baylor has got it done in a way that UT has not. But it is a testament to, my gosh, everything's bigger and better in Texas, okay? You can recruit, you can keep it local, and you can win national championships, even though your girl did decide to go to California. I guess I'm just hurting myself in this argument. It is its own ecosystem, and I think that's one thing that sort of helped Baylor make it through these last few years.
It certainly is. We'll see if Baylor will now be mentioned alongside Chip and Joanna Gaines in Waco fanfare and the celebration of famous people from that city. You saw Chip was all up in the video dancing in these celebrations too, right? Like, that was no secret. If something's happening around Waco, you know Chip and Joanna are going to be there. It's just
very happy for Trey Wingo as well.
Yes, I'm going to say Uncle Trey holding it down, proud Baylor alum, getting to celebrate a national championship.
He was so happy.
Trey Wingo, and we heard the mention of RG3 there too, going all the way back to that. So lots going on for the Baylor side. Winning that national championship. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. But coming up next, big decisions now at number 4 in the draft. Sam Darnold is on the move, but what should the Falcons be doing? Next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Before we get back to football, here's an update on the hottest team in the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant has been upgraded to, quote, probable and could be back tomorrow versus New Orleans. Meanwhile, James Harden will be reevaluated for his hamstring in about 10 days. I know it's crazy. They can't all be on the court together. Junior, immediate reaction to this?
Devastating news for the James Harden MVP train. This was obviously largely predicated on him being on the court when a lot of the other candidates had been off. This is going to be a pivotal time of year, so I am saddened for those of us, but we still remain chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-choo-choo all aboard.
Now it sounds like choo-choo. We'll discuss all of that in the next hour, so make sure you rock with us for the next few minutes. But right now, let's head back to the world of football. And by the way, there's been so much going on in the sports world between the Sam Darnold trade, the national championship games, that we have to circle back in about 10 minutes to important stories that we don't want falling through the cracks. An update, as you heard in the SportsCenter update, about Deshaun Watson and another unfortunate story in the NFL involving a Vikings player. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. But let's talk about what's happening on the field. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN+. Shanae Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And let's head straight there to talk to our big bro, Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, one of the co-hosts of NFL Live. Thanks for joining us, Brother Spears. And we've been hearing a lot of conversation about the Sam Darnold trade. Was this a win for New York? Was this a win for Carolina? Where do you grade it all, Marcus?
Listen, first of all, what's up to y'all family? And Shanae, I got to give you a shout out because I'm hoarse today because my daughter is a volleyball player, top. And you know where her favorite school is right now?
Stanford. So, yes.
Yeah. So I'm hoarse because of that. But let's get into this Sam Darnold to Carolina. First, this is his first real opportunity to have success in this league. Like, and I know it's been talked about ad nauseum with him and Adam Gase leading the way as a head coach, and we all can pile on Adam Gase. I have done enough for 2 years' worth, and we all know what Sam Darnold was dealing with in New York. And you think about what the stability is in Carolina. You think about the situation he's walking into with Matt Rhule, who's a coach that players seem like they would run through a brick wall for, and guys thrive. Like Robbie Anderson is a guy that Matt Rhule went and got from New York. That was like, so this is another step in that direction of Matt Rhule having the power to say, hey, I want to get after this guy. And then you look at Joe Brady and what he did with Joe Burrow at LSU and that maturation and seeing how Joe Burrow evolved from junior to senior year. And people forget that Joe Brady was also in the same staff with Sean Payton in New Orleans prior to going to LSU. Sam Darnold, for the first time, will be coached the right way. I don't expect him to see ghosts because, as MG Jr. can tell you, when a player says he sees ghosts, that means he's not prepared. And I don't really want to put that on Sam Darnold because sometimes with young guys, coaches' responsibility is to give them answers or find another way for them to have success. So I'm excited for him. This is his shot. It's in a similar vein with Jameis Winston trying to resurrect his career with Sean Payton. Sam Darnold is in a great spot. And I think the Jets are in a good one, too. The only thing about the Jets and Joe Douglas, GM, you better get this one right with Zach Wilson, because these are the ones that make and break careers for general managers.
Marcus Spears with us here on Chenea and Golic Jr. So, Marcus, you think with this decision and the Panthers still sitting at 8, that let's say Justin Fields falls like we've seen in some mocks down to that spot, the Panthers should not draft him and they should go for one of these weapons?
No, I'll tell you this, man. If Justin Fields is sitting there, I'm not opposed to the Carolina Panthers taking him, because we also – we're talking about Sam Darnold and, you know, hoping him, wishing him the best and thinking that he's going to be way better. You also got to realize you got him on a one-year deal, basically, sample size. So if he doesn't work out, you back where you were previous to getting Sam Darnold. And if Justin Fields is sitting there, man, I just – listen, first of all, it ain't no way in hell Justin Fields supposed to be sitting there at 8, but that's a whole nother topic for us. And then – you think about him being there, that type of talent with Joe Brady, all the things I just expressed about Sam Darnold, Joe Brady would have Justin Fields to work with and more athleticism. That would be a hard thing, I believe, to pass up for the Carolina Panthers. So that's where the conundrum comes for me, because if Justin Fields is sitting there, you got to think about it and explore it. But what if Kyle Pitts is sitting there as well, and you do fully believe that Sam Darnold will turn it around? Do you take a generational talent, which I believe in Kyle Pitts, that can transform an offense, or do you take the quarterback, which is the most important position in the NFL? And if you don't have one, you can have a lot of talent and still suck.
That is truer than true, and a good reminder for everyone, that fifth-year option we've heard so much about with Sam Darnold, we don't need a decision on that until May 3rd, which would be after the draft and after they've had a chance to look at this. Chenea and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chenea Igwumike talking to our ESPN NFL analyst and former NFL D lineman Marcus Spears. And Marcus, you mentioned
cover model for MVP Parent Magazine.
Yes, saw that. Getting some love out there for being an all-pro dad in this thing. And so, Marcus, looking at the quarterback position, still, the next thing that comes in the crosshairs is in their division, the Atlanta Falcons. Adam Schefter tweets out earlier today that they are open and taking calls on that fourth pick. Should they be looking at a quarterback at that fourth spot to be the heir apparent to Matt Ryan?
I think if you stand pat at 4 with Matt Ryan contract situation, and I was different on this yesterday, you draft Kyle Pitts, because him, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Hayden Hurst, I don't know how you stop it. Now, with that being said, how are you if you're Atlanta, how are you looking at your future? You got a brand new head coach in Arthur Smith, whose philosophy and scheme may lend itself more to a guy that can move like he did with Tannehill in Tennessee. Or do you sit there and say, same thing I just said for Carolina, Kyle Pitts, man, he is a fly in the ointment in this draft, bro, because it's justifiable, the talent, for him to be taken after the best quarterback, who is Trevor Lawrence, right? Like, we know New York needs a quarterback, so a lot of these teams will be drafting need, but if they were drafting just the best player, it would be Kyle Pitts. So that's a conundrum. And then, too, you think about all of the scenarios that can play out. I think Atlanta is just in a great spot overall, right? If they say, look, we rolling with Matt Ryan, that's fine. Matt Ryan is still playing good enough to have success and for his team to be really good. If you say we're going to take a quarterback, you got a guy that will have weapons going forward in the future. Or if you move out of the pick, you accumulate picks, continue to build out a roster, and you revisit the quarterback spot when Matt Ryan is done. So I look at Atlanta by saying we've opened up for possibility of trades, as also continuing to use the leverage of being a team that has a quarterback on their roster already. So to say they should take a quarterback, my tune has changed, because when you say we're open for business of trading out of the fourth spot, you open yourself up to not only create more picks for yourself, you open yourself up to have all of these other teams guessing about what you have the potential of doing.
Marcus, I'm with you. It's been a tough one to call on this. I think it boils down to the people that do believe in Matt Ryan still and the people that don't. And I'm with you in that camp of people that think he's still got plenty of great ball in him there. Follow him on Twitter at MSpears96 and check him out. NFL Live, the best in the business on that one. Our ESPN NFL Marcus, analyst, Marcus Spears. We appreciate you, boss.
When your daughter's ready, I got the contact for you, bro. When your daughter's ready for Stanford Volleyball, I got the contact info for you, bro.
All right, let me before I hang up, let me just give her a shout out. They played Big South tournament this weekend in Atlanta tonight, and she went off.
Yes.
She's already been recruited. They've already reached out. She's 6'2", 14 years old, and straight beast on the volleyball court. It's time, but that's been her favorite for a while. I'm going to see if it changes, because when I was 14, I knew I was going to Florida State. And all of that changes, and the rest is history. But I will keep you in close connection with
you
what
better.
You're doing.
You better.
There we go. I'm going to say, we're all in on this one now. No surprise that someone in the Spears family is out here balling. So, Marcus,
Facts.
Congratulations to your daughter.
All pros.
Congratulations to you. We're excited to talk to you each and every week here, boss. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, family. Much love. Holla at y'all.
Marcus Spears brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more
10
driven.
Out of 10.
Another
10 out of 10.
Another person who signs off way cooler than I will ever be able to. Much love. Y'all be good. He is incredible. The best there is. And that's fun. We love catching up with Marcus. But coming up next, we have to catch everyone else on something far more grave going on in the world of the NFL off the field. We'll do it here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Gears from the highs to the lows in the same league, the NFL. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now, there were a number of things going on this weekend and early this week, and we have been awaiting more information as we want to make sure these stories don't fall through the cracks. And here it is, per the latest from our ESPN Texans reporter, Sarah Barshop. Two of the 22 women who filed lawsuits against Houston Texans quarterback, as we know, Deshaun Watson, alleging sexual assault and inappropriate behavior, they came forward publicly during a news conference today. And again, it's important to note that the process is ongoing, and Deshaun Watson has publicly denied wrongdoing. And also his lawyer has said about, you know, a month ago that any allegation that Deshaun forced the woman to commit a sexual act is completely false. That is their side. And now this is the women's side. Ashley Solis, whose lawyer, the one that we've been talking about the last few weeks, Tony Busby, she was the first massage therapist to file the lawsuit against Deshaun Watson, spoke in the news conference. Also, Lauren Baxley, she wrote a letter to Deshaun Watson that was read by her lawyer today. And some of the quotes that we heard from the press conference, first with Ashley Solis, quote, "I got into massage therapy to heal people, to heal their minds and bodies, to bring peace to their souls. Deshaun Watson has robbed me of that. He took that away from me. He tainted a profession in which I take enormous pride. I suffer panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. I'm in counseling as a result of Deshaun's actions. I know how much pain he's inflicted on me emotionally and physically." That was some of the sentiments of what happened in the press conference today. Now, according to Tony Busby, the victim's lawyer, Ashley Solis and at least one of his other clients have provided statements to the police. And so last Friday, the Houston Police Department said in a statement that it has launched an investigation of Deshaun Watson after a complaint filed based on this report and based on what we have been seeing transpiring amongst these women and Tony Busby, their lawyer. So that is the latest involving Texan star quarterback Deshaun Watson. Again, we are waiting more information. The press conference came. The women spoke their truth to the public. But again, it is important to note that these are allegations against Deshaun, in which he's been and his side has been quiet. I know that the process is going on, not just within the civil lawsuits, but now with HPD taking their own investigation on as well, Junior.
And we know we've talked about that's a huge step in all of this because this has been in civil court. These are civil cases that have been filed against Deshaun Watson. But putting names to this, seeing women come out and put their names, put their faces in public, knowing how difficult that tends to be in any instances and any allegations of sexual impropriety, usually in this country, it's a difficult thing to do. And so those women coming forward right now and supporting their voices, incredibly important in this process that's going to take a very different turn if all of a sudden what the Houston Police Department finds in these official complaints filed their way, if these investigation turns into something criminal, because we know, again, an entirely different situation if it's the state pressing charges against Deshaun Watson for something like this coming off of this investigation. So that feels like, Chiney, right now, the biggest thing that we've got to monitor going forward is what happens, certainly with everything involved in all this, but also does it take that next step and cross over from what we've talked about in civil person against person in these spots, or the criminal case here where all of a sudden you would have charges, jail time, things of that nature. So we've
go
ahead, Janae. Sorry.
Yeah, that's going on. And I would like to say the NFL, the spokesperson made a statement after the press conference saying, finding these deeply disturbing, noting that we take these issues very seriously. So all parties involved, team, NFL, and now both the civil process and the Houston Police Department are now fully involved.
So we've got that going on with Deshaun Watson, Chiney, and that's understandably gotten a ton of press. Deshaun Watson is one of the big faces of this league. He's been a star quarterback in this league for a while now. Something that happened in the last couple of days that I saw first tweeted about by J.D. Miles, a CBS 11 news reporter down in Texas, tweeted that Minnesota Vikings quarterback Jeff Gladney has turned himself into Dallas County Jail after the NFL player posted a $10,000 bond on a charge of third-degree felony family violent assault. The NFL quarterback faces up to 2 to 10 years in prison if convicted. After an incident on April 2nd, Gladney is accused of hitting his 22-year-old woman, who says she's in a relationship with Gladney, over an incident following an altercation over text messages she was receiving. Gladney's accused of hitting her with closed fists, choking her, dragging her by her hair while driving with her outside the vehicle. She also accuses him of pulling her by her hair and trying to hold her still in order to get the face ID to work. These are disturbing images in here. These are serious allegations. And just because the name isn't as big as Deshaun Watson does not mean that it should not be out here for everyone to notice and for everyone to react to, because this is important. And these are the things, if you actually care about doing right by women relative to the NFL, we've got to harp on. So I know that's a lot, but important information to keep everyone up to date on. We'll get back to the rest of the world of sports next on ESPN Radio.